1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body,
so it is with Christ.
Thank you, Pat and Diane. You can all have a seat. If you haven't already, please turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we are going to do a brief overview of this entire chapter of text this morning, so stay with me. And if I'm looking backwards a lot, it's because we don't have our back projector screen, so I'm going to kind of be doing a pivot much through our time here together this morning. This past week, millions upon millions of individuals gathered around their televisions to watch what we would consider to be one of the greatest sporting events we enjoy as a people, the Olympics. Now, you see, there's always something to watch for at the Olympics. From the beautifully choreographed opening ceremonies to the wonderful stories given on many of the different athletes to the actual events themselves. And, of course, the medal ceremony that follows the actual events. Now, some folks get really, really into the Olympics. I was recently talking to someone who told me that their coworker decided to take the entire week off off of work to watch and marvel at every part of the Olympics. Others of you may be a little bit more like me. You really enjoy watching sports. You really enjoy the spectacle of it, but you don't really get into it too much. Although there is one guy that any time he comes on TV, I have to stop and watch him when it comes to the Olympics. It's a guy I'm sure you've heard plenty about this past week. His name is Michael Phelps. You know, Michael Phelps, the all-time record holder for Olympic gold medals at 23, which is more than twice that of the second highest record holder, and the all-time record holder for most Olympic medals at 28, as well as the world record holder for the 100-meter butterfly, 200-meter butterfly, 200- and 400-meter individual medley, while also formerly holding the world record in the 200-meter freestyle and the 200-meter individual medley. Now, if that resume wasn't good enough for you, you can also add in the 80 medals that he won in major international long course swimming competitions. You could also add in the 7 times he had been named World Swimmer of the Year, the 9 times he won American Swimmer of the Year, and the 1 time he won Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. He's got a pretty good resume, right? Now, there's no doubt that Michael Phelps was born with talent. One could make a pretty strong argument that he is not only the greatest swimmer of all time, but the greatest Olympic athlete of all time. Michael was born with a God-given talent, a gift and ability that few others in the world have ever been blessed with. And through lots of hard work, training, and coaching, he was able to put himself in the pinnacle of the sports world. Yet this morning, we're going to look inwardly at the gifts and the talents that God has given each one of us. And this morning, we're going to be spending some time looking at those spiritual gifts God has given us. So let's open up to 1 Corinthians 12, where we find our author, Paul, sharing a teachable moment with this congregation that he helped to plant. You see that after Paul had left the church there in Corinth, the church that by God's grace he had helped plant, the church became infested with false teachers and misinformation. Now, because of this, Paul spent a large bulk of the time that he spent writing to the Corinthians, clearing up matters and letting them know what they should and shouldn't be doing. In the chapter before this, he dealt with those issues concerning head coverings and the Lord's Supper or communion. Now we find Paul doing the same thing, clearing up some matters concerning that of spiritual gifts. As we look at this text this morning, we're first going to see a church body comprised of many members. But to accurately understand what that means in light of spiritual gifts, we're going to ask ourselves a few questions. The first question that we're going to ask ourselves is this: what are spiritual gifts and where do they come from? What are they and where do they come from? Well, when we see that clearly here within verse 1 of the text, Paul says this: now concerning spiritual gifts, now just stop there for a second. Literally, that word gifts within the Greek original language means pertaining to the Spirit. These are gifts pertaining to the Spirit, gifts given by the Holy Spirit. So the first question is that we're answering is, where do spiritual gifts come from? Well, they come from the Holy Spirit. So what are they then? Well, let's continue on. Now concerning spiritual gifts, or gifts from the Holy Spirit, brothers, as he uses the word brothers there, he's speaking specifically to Christians. I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, non-Christians, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. So what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are gifts given by God through the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts come from God by the Holy Spirit. So let's ask ourselves this question then: who possesses spiritual gifts? Who has these gifts? Well, as Paul mentions here this word, mute idols, some of your translations may even use the word dumb right there. What does he mean there? Well, he means idols or gods without speech, those who are lifeless. They aren't really real. So the true God gives these gifts through his Holy Spirit to who? Well, we go back up and look at verse 1 where it says, brothers. He gives these gifts to believers. As Paul is speaking here, he's speaking to a Christian audience. And Paul is sharing here that these gifts were given to true, authentic Christians who had the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Now, there was a lot of information, misinformation going on here about spiritual gifts that Paul had to deal with and address. So what he does, after he speaks of these mute idols, these gods that don't give these spiritual gifts, is he sets up a little bit of a test. And within this test, what Paul does is he shares a simple test to basically discern if someone is a false teacher or not a false teacher. In verse 3, he says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says that Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul laid down a really simple test to see if these teachers were truly authentic Christians. And it was based simply on their speech. If these teachers said that Jesus is accursed, They aren't indwelled by the Holy Spirit. A believer who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit cannot say that. If they are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, or if they aren't indwelled by the Holy Spirit, then they can't edify the church body by the use of teaching through their spiritual gifts. So, we'll get to that, exactly what that means here in a minute. But the point there is, and why we're looking at that, is because these verses are foundational to the overall picture of the text that we're about to see. Who is Paul speaking to? He's speaking to brothers within the church. Why is he speaking to them? Because of the misinformation going on by false teachers in the area. So as we look at that, and as we really discern what spiritual gifts are, I'd like to share a couple quotes from you from a man I trust very highly on these things, and that is Dr. John MacArthur. He says this about spiritual gifts: every member of Christ's church has been given supernatural endowments, gifts of God's Holy Spirit, which through the Spirit are God's divine means of ministering His word and power among His people and to the world. They are God's supernatural provision for the edification of the church and the evangelization of the world. They are the means through which believers are to grow, worship, witness, and serve. Spiritual gifts are really important. He also says this: spiritual gifts are the Lord's primary channel of making Christians become Christ in the world, His visible and manifest body. Each gift of the Holy Spirit now gives to believers had its perfect expression in Jesus' own life and ministry. His church continues to live out His life on earth through the power of His Spirit working through His gifted people. God does the work that He wants to do through believers through spiritual gifts. And before we go any further, I think it's important that we recognize the difference, the distinction between a spiritual gift and a natural talent, because there's a pretty large difference there. You see, everyone is born with specific natural talents, but only authentic Christians are born with spiritual gifts. And those gifts are given to a believer not when they're physically born, but when they're spiritually born. You don't wake up one morning and have spiritual gifts. You have to be born again as a true, authentic believer. Now, you may have turned on your TV as I did this past week and watched when Michael Phelps or Katie Ledecky, physical specimens born with great natural talents, were bringing gold medals back to the USA. Or you may have looked on during the election cycle this year and noticed great wisdom and intellect as a man such as Ben Carson displayed to the nation, or the great oratory skill and ability and talents of a man such as Marco Rubio exhibited. But it's important to note that as we look and as we marvel at these men and women and at their gifts and abilities, those are natural talents. Those are skills that the individuals possess that either they were born with and really coached up, or that they learned themselves. And these individuals may be able to use those talents to inspire us and possibly even push us towards greater moral good. But unless these individuals are truly born-again believers, they don't possess spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are something much different. These individuals can do good moral things, but they can't do what can be done through spiritual gifts. So then the third question we have to ask ourselves then is this: what are my spiritual gifts and what do they do? Okay, I am an authentic Christian, I am a true believer, so what are my gifts and what do they do, and how are they different from those things that we call natural talents? Well, as was read to us, verses 4 through 11 here this morning, let's look at them again. Chapter 12, verse 4 says this: now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each of the individuals, or to each one individually as he wills. Now we're going to notice several different things from this text. First, we notice that there are a variety of spiritual gifts that are mentioned there within the text. There are a lot of different gifts mentioned. And as you notice those many different gifts mentioned, I don't really want to spend the bulk of our time here together this morning looking specifically at all the gifts and what it is that they mean and trying to determine how exactly you can use your gift. Now, I don't want to spend the majority of our time doing that this morning, but if you would, grab your bulletin outline and look there at the gifts mentioned within your outline. In your outline, you will see snippets of a Lifeway article that really just divvies out all of the spiritual gifts that you would have today as a believer. And you're going to notice there that there are a variety of gifts mentioned. You're going to see within that lots of spiritual gifts, lots of variety of them. And as you're glancing at these gifts, you will notice that specific gifts mentioned within this text of Scripture aren't mentioned within your bulletin outline. Now, why is that? Well, that's because these gifts that are mentioned within your bulletin, some of which are in the text, are those that we call permanent gifts. Now, permanent gifts, what that means is that these are the gifts that have been permanently gifted to the church by the Holy Spirit. And you'll see references in your bulletin outline to the text of Scripture that were in here this morning, as well as other ones as well. But then as well, we see within our text this morning these temporary gifts. Now, these temporary gifts are gifts that we do not believe as a church are available to us today. And these are gifts that confirmed the Word of God to the people during that time period. They didn't have the full confirmation in the history and the confirmation that we find in God's Word as we have here this morning. And these are gifts that we have believed that have ceased in today's day and age, as the Scripture now confirms itself. These gifts include the gifts of healing, the gifts of working of miracles by an individual, the gifts of tongues, and the gifts of interpretation of tongues. So Paul's writing here is not simply to illustrate all the different gifts and how you can use them within the text. Paul's means of writing about the gifts here is to illustrate and teach just a beautiful picture of the church and what the church is here to do. So let's contextualize this for a moment. As you look at the list of gifts there again within your bulletin, you'll notice that if you are truly a Christ follower, you possess all of these spiritual gifts within one form or another. Now, you may be looking at that list and saying to yourself, I don't know too much about that one. But in some form, you can say within your life, I'm guessing, or you can point to a time within your life where you have used that spiritual gift here within the church body or locally. Now, again, as you glance at that list, there are likely one or a few gifts that really jump out to you. Those are gifts that you affirm in your mind, yeah, that's me right there. If you have a pen with you, I just wanted you to take that pen and star those specific gifts. Those ones that you would view as your primary gifts, or the ones that you really say, that's me right there. Now, what Paul does within this text is paint a beautiful picture of the diversity that we find within the body of Christ. Because you see, the gifts that you just starred or are starring right now are likely much different than the gifts that the person next to you starred. And those gifts are likely much different than the ones sitting in your pew or row as well. The gifts that you have are different. They're unique. Much as you are a different and unique person, much as this congregation is filled up with people of all different varieties of ages, backgrounds, and even faith traditions, but they come together for one reason. And as we come together to understand the doctrine, the teaching, and the practice that we find within God's Word, we have a beautiful, unique thing that we can do. We can use our spiritual gifts for one another. And yet also caught up within this uniqueness is the church itself. Because Paul talks about the church as well. He says that there are these variety of gifts. But then he also shares that there's a variety of different ways to use these gifts. He says that there are a variety of different gifts. There's a variety of service in verse 5. And there's also a variety of activities in verse 6, but there is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Caught up in the uniqueness of this is the uniqueness of Delaware Bible Church. Now, God loves His church here at DBC, and He has gifted us with unique people, with unique gifts that we can use to glorify God in a specific and special way that no other church can do. And we are doing so in a time period that no other church here in Delaware, Ohio has done. Now, as God has gifted us here in a unique church body, He's given us unique opportunities to be able to minister in ways that no one else in this community can minister. And as He has done that, although there may be other churches or other ministries within the area that have similar opportunities or that have similar ministries, none of them are exactly like us. We're special. We're here for a reason. And God has us in His uniqueness exactly where He wants us for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. So what is that reason? Well, now let's look down at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit." Why? For the common good. God gives us the gifts that He has given us for use of the common good. Now, if you were to look at this verse, or this word, these words, common good in Greek, what it literally means is to bring together. So God uses these spiritual gifts to bring us together. You and I, these unique individuals who may be very different personality-wise, very different in our backgrounds and who we are brought together through these spiritual gifts. And He's given us these gifts to benefit one another. Because as you're looking at those primary gifts that you have starred, you will notice that all of those gifts have the description in them that you are to use those gifts to serve other people. The gifts that you have are not for yourselves. They're to use to minister to other people. The gifts that God has given you is for the mutual benefit of others. So let's walk through this a little bit so far. We first see this, that every single believer has spiritual gifts. If you are a true, authentic Christ follower and you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you, you have spiritual gifts. Not only that, but every single believer we see then, if they have spiritual gifts, is necessary and important within the church body. You being here this morning, you being a part of this church body is really important. You're necessary to the work that goes on here. Not only that, but every single believer is to use their gifts to the benefits of other people within the church body. So since we have seen and we have affirmed those things already, we can basically make this conclusion It's disobedience to God, and it's disobedience to the gifts that he has given you if you have spiritual gifts that you aren't actively using within the body. It's disobedience to God to not be using your spiritual gifts to minister to those within the body. Everyone is important here within the body. We need you. We need the unique gifts that God has given you because he has empowered you and he has empowered these gifts to you. He has apportioned them as he wills, and he wants to use these gifts to minister to this body. Everyone here is important and here for a reason. And what I believe that you'll see is that as you use these gifts, as you minister to other people, you in turn are blessed by doing so. And your walk with Christ grows and deepens. And as you use your gifts to the glory of God, there is a work that God does in your heart and in your life through his Holy Spirit that cannot be accomplished outside of spiritual gifts. God accomplishes something through spiritual gifts he can't accomplish through natural talents. Now, what is that? Well, that is the thing that happens at times when you're sitting under the preaching of God's word, and inwardly there is this affirmation, there is this yes, that what is being preached and taught through the man standing up front who has the gift of prophecy or proclamation as he is sharing, and as you are affirming what God's word is sharing, and you know it inwardly to be true in your heart, that is happening through the ministering of spiritual gifts. That's why at times when you sit with others who have the gift of hospitality and you feel welcome and warm within the body of Christ, you have that feeling because of the spiritual gifts and others ministering within your heart and life. It's why you have joy in using your gift of helps to sacrificially serve other people with a need within the church body. As we use these spiritual gifts, they're a blessing. And they're something that draws us closer within our relationship to God and other people. And we see that we are a body of many members, but yet we still are one body. We come together as many unique members with different unique primary spiritual gifts, but we do so as one body. Let's look now at the next verses following that. We see that we're in a one body in verses 12 through 31. And we first ask ourselves this question, then, okay, I have these spiritual gifts. I am truly an authentic Christian, but how am I going to use these spiritual gifts? Let's apply it to my life now, Brad. What am I going to do with these things? Well, we see that here. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit." So although we were very unique within and of ourselves, we have all been baptized through the Holy Spirit into this body. He's speaking of spiritual baptism. We've been born again, born unto the Holy Spirit now. Verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body,' that would not make it any less part in the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So how do I use my spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, we have to remember where our spiritual gifts come from. We see that in verses 12 through 13. The spiritual gifts that we have been given have been gifted to us by the gospel. It says that we are one body filled with many members. Now, how are we one body together? Well, we have been found in Christ. And because of that, we now have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We, no matter our background, no matter if we were a Jew or a Greek, are made to drink of one Spirit. The Holy Spirit now indwells us. And we are supposed to remember where these gifts have come from. But also, I think it's important, as we read through this text, to identify exactly which part of the body that you are and be that part. Identify which part of the body you are and be that part. Or identify what your primary gifts are and use them as the best that you can to the glory of God. Let me put it this way. Let's say, for example, that your primary spiritual gift is the gift of evangelism. We're going to say that your part in the body is you're the mouth. You are the mouth of Delaware Bible Church. You have identified that you are a mouth, that this is what you're good at doing. My admonition to you is this: be the best mouth that you can be to the glory of God. Go about the community, go about the area, proclaiming the gospel, sharing it with other people, and being the best mouth that you can be. Yet at the same time, don't be such a mouth that you get misaligned with the other vital parts of the church body. Your gift is as of the same importance as all the other gifts. And even if you say, well, being a mouth is not my primary spiritual gift, realize that God is still going to give you opportunities as well to use that spiritual gift. He's going to give you opportunities, unique ones that only you would have, to be a mouth for the body to those here within our community. If your primary gift is the gift of helps, we'll say then that your gift is being a hand within the body. You're being a hand to those in need. And my admonition to you is this: be the best hand that you can be. Be the best hand that you can be for the body to the glory of God. Looking back at verses 18 and 19, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose, or he chose you, being in this body with the specific gifts that you have to be used for a specific reason and a specific purpose. Verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. It's important to know your part. Not only to know your part, though, but to seek to be the best that you can at your part. Now, let's take this back to our friends at the Olympics. But this time, we're going to focus on a little bit different of a team. We're going to be focusing on the USA men's basketball team, and we're going to be focusing on a player who some of you may know very well. His name is Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie is one of the best basketball players in the world, and he's the starting point guard for the Olympic team. Now, some of you may have seen him not too long ago, as he was one of the key members of the Cleveland Cavaliers basketball team who won the NBA Finals. Kyrie is dynamic at what he does, clearly one of the best basketball players in the world. And then let's look now at the starting center for the team, a guy named DeMarcus Cousins. If you watch basketball much, you know they call him Boogie Cousins. Now, Boogie is one of the best big men in the league, and he stands at 6'11", 270 pounds. He's a big guy. Comparing him to Kyrie, Kyrie is no small fry, but he stands at 6'3", 191 pounds. Now, both Kyrie and Boogie are both on the same team. They're playing the same sport, and they have the same goal in mind, but they are two very unique and different individuals. Kyrie stands as a point guard. He is a distributor. He passes the ball, he opens up lanes, or he takes shots. Boogie stands underneath, grabbing rebounds, slamming dunks, doing the dirty work underneath. And as Boogie does one thing very well, Kyrie does something else much different very well. Now, let's say that we're going to take the skill and talent of Kyrie and we're going to make him and Boogie flip-flop positions. We're going to put Kyrie on the outside and DeMarcus Cousins. We're going to put Kyrie on the inside and put DeMarcus Cousins on the outside. If you take Kyrie and put him on the inside, he may do all right, but he's not going to be nearly as effective as Boogie is. If you put Boogie on the outside asking him to distribute and to make three-point shots, he's not going to be as talented or do as well as Kyrie did. Now, if we were to do this, we would be simply taking the talents that these men have been giving them, and we would be mismatching them simply because we want to try something different. Now, my point in saying that is this: as we look to ourselves, we should be majoring on the gifts that we are effective at and minoring on the other areas that we aren't as good at while still seeking to be effective. Why? Well, because we're on the same team and we do have different gifts. And we need to be content with those gifts, not looking at the gifts of others with jealousy or anguish. We're all on the same team with the same goal in mind. So as you're thinking about this for a second, I know that this question may be coming into your mind. What if I don't know what my primary spiritual gifts are? You say, Brad, I've looked through this handout you've given us, and I really don't know exactly what my gifts are. Well, let me encourage you to do this. First of all, simply think about the ministries that you really enjoy doing. What is it that you enjoy doing and you find yourself effective in? Give yourself to those ministries. Give yourself to those ministries that you find yourself effective in. And if you still aren't sure, then let me encourage you to talk to other people who know you well and ask them their opinion. Say to them, what do you think my primary spiritual gifts are? Do you see me really being good at those things? Second question we have to ask ourselves this, though, is what if I find myself discouraged because I have an important gift? What if I'm looking at the gifts that I have and I say, that gift really isn't very important within the grand scheme of things? Well, I want us to look at verses 21 through 24 again. Verse 21 says this: the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Stop there. That word indispensable means absolutely necessary. You are absolutely necessary with the spiritual gifts that God has given you to this church body. You using your what may seem to you mundane, unspectacular gifts in this church body to the glory of God is absolutely necessary. And in fact, as we read on within this text, it tells us that to those gifts we bestow a greater honor. Look at 23. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts, which are treated with greater modesty. Continuing on to the second part of 24, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there should be no division here within the church body. We are to bestow great honor on those who do the mundane, everyday things that make the church run and function the way that God wants it to. You taking that high school student out for coffee and pouring into their life may not be flashy, but it's vitally important to the church body. You taking out the trash and cleaning up the mess made in twos and threes after class is over is necessary to the inner workings of this church, and you should be honored for that work. You taking a meal to the person who just had surgery, going to visit the shut-in who can't come to church anymore, or sending that card of encouragement to the person within the church who just lost a loved family member is necessary and needed. It is important, and it's important that we bestow great honor to those who are using the ordinary, what we might consider to be mundane gifts within the church body. Because you are not a weak part of the church body. The stuff that we do here is really, really, really important. It has eternal importance, and you are a necessary part of that process so that we can function and run the way that God has us to function and run. There are no unimportant gifts. But simply, we may find times where we're at this part as well, where we say this: what do I do when I feel unmotivated to use my gifts? Or I've used my gifts for a long time, and now I feel unmotivated to continue to do so. Well, first of all, let me encourage you to remember that we all are in this together. We see that in verses 25 and 26. There's no division here within the body, verse 25, but that the members may have the same care of one another. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. We're in this together. But not only are we all in this together, we remember that our spiritual gifts are to be used for others. And not simply ourselves, we secondly remember that it's not about you, it's about other people. The gifts minister to the entire church. And as we look here within verses 27 to 31a, we see an interesting picture that Paul paints here. Verse 27, Paul says this: "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts." Stop there. As Paul mentions these many different gifts, these many different titles that some folks had within the church, he does so intentionally in the way that he mentions them. What do I mean by that? Well, during Paul's time, as these people were talking and as they were discerning their spiritual gifts, they were enamored with the gifts that really spoke to individual worship, the temporary gifts. The speaking in tongues, the interpreting tongues, those type of gifts that were really for individual worship, the working of miracles. Now, they affirmed God's word, but they were done by an individual. And Paul here, as he shares this, actually puts those types of gifts at the end of his text. And he says instead to seek the higher gifts or the permanent gifts, the gifts that you and I have, the gifts that minister to the entire body. Seek to use your gifts to minister to the entire church body. Not simply to yourself, not to an individual, but to the entire church body. It's not about the individual, it's about other people. Finally, if you feel unmotivated, let me remind you to do this. Remember the more excellent way that Paul shares with us. This is why we do what we do. And it's right there at the end of the chapter. He says, I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, if your Bible is like mine, it shows you exactly what that more excellent way is. At the beginning of chapter 13, you may even see a little header there, as my Bible shares. It says, the way of love. This more excellent way is a foreshadowing of what is to come in chapter 13. The way of life that a Christian is supposed to be marked with. The Christian is to be living in such a way that the church in Corinth, Paul's desire for the church in Corinth was. That is to live their life in a manner of which that is characterized by love for God and love for other people. You do what you do, you minister in the way that you do because of love. First of all, the love that was shown to you through Christ, through the gospel. And you share that love now with other people. That is our motivation. That is the reason why we do what we do. It is because of love. Such great love has been shared with you. Now share it with other people. Now, just a few final concluding points and applications as we've made application throughout much of our time here together. Let me ask you this first. Do you possess spiritual gifts? Do you? What do I mean by that? Well, are you truly an authentic, Holy Spirit-filled Christian? Are you saved? Have you been saved? If you are questioning that, if you have questions, or if you are inwardly looking and saying, I don't really think I have these spiritual gifts, I hope that you'll talk to myself, to an elder, to someone who you know is actively using their spiritual gifts that can show you from God's Word exactly how you can know that you are a truly authentic follower of Christ. Secondly, let me ask this question to the believers. How are you using your gifts? How are you using your gifts? God, in His foreknowledge and wisdom, chose you to bring you here to Delaware Bible Church as a part of this church body to use your spiritual gifts for the edification and benefit of us here as a body. How are you using your gifts here? You may say, well, it's not really flashy. Well, as we've seen, those smaller gifts are to be given great honor and esteem. They aren't small in God's eyes. They really shouldn't be small within our eyes either. They are important. They are necessary towards what we are doing. Let me encourage you this then as well. If you aren't using your gifts, view September as a reset. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in September, as Pastor Aaron mentioned during announcement time this morning, we will be having our new Sunday format go into effect. That is going to be kind of a reset button for the entire church. It is going to be a time where everyone has a new schedule, everything is a little bit different, and everyone is going to have to adjust to that. If you aren't currently using your spiritual gifts, September is a perfect time, as school kicks off, as all of our ministries really begin, for you to be using your gifts again here within the church body. And as you look within your bulletin this morning, I think I already counted 5 opportunities there that you have to serve here within the church. There are several more out in the commons as well. And there are ministry leaders who would just love to have you help come in and join and use your spiritual gifts there. There are so many opportunities here within the church body to use your gifts, both in formal and informal ministry settings. Fourth, let me encourage you to commit yourself to continue to learn how you can best use your gifts. Commit to learning how you can best use your gifts. And this is done through the equipping opportunities that we have together as a church body. Opportunities such as Sunday school, such as learning how to become a biblical counselor, such as being in a Bible study. Opportunities that you have to continue to learn how you can most effectively use your gifts. Finally, let me encourage you to remember that your motivation is love. bring it back to the gospel. And remember that as God has saved you, you now have the opportunity to show the love that he had for you through Christ towards others. Do what you do through love. Let's close our time together this morning in prayer. God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that you have brought us here as a church body, as unique as we are, with a different variety of gifts that we have, to minister to one another, to draw close in unity, and most importantly, to glorify and honor you. We pray that you would help us to use our gifts in such a way that you would be honored and well pleased. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.